Our Old Testament lesson for this morning comes from the book of Genesis. We'll be reading from the very beginning, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and that is found on page 1 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Our New Testament reading will come from the Gospel of Mark. We'll read from chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, verses 4 through 11, and that is found on page 867 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and had a leather girdle around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A surgeon, an architect, and a politician were arguing about the age of their respective professions. The surgeon pointed out that in the Garden of Eden, an operation took place. Eve was made from Adam's rib. And so said the surgeon, "My profession is indeed the oldest profession." The architect listened patiently until the surgeon finished, and then the architect frowned and said, "You're right. The operation in Eve was, in fact, the first surgical operation. But before that operation took place, order was created out of chaos, and that was an architectural job." The politician lit his cigar and smiled knowingly and said, "Sure, but who do you think caused the chaos in the first place?" Of course, before the surgeons and the architects and the politicians, there was God. And it is God's searching and creative love that is the beginning of all things. Scholars believe that the creation narrative, as we have it in the book of Genesis, was written down in the 6th century B.C. when the Jews were held captive in Babylon. It was obviously a very traumatic event in the life of the people. Their lives were shattered. Their nation was in ruins. The world, as they had known it, had come to an end. Think about how we Americans felt during 9/11 and the sense of loss that we felt. And in many respects, even the sense of desperation, wanting to know what was happening. Would things ever be the same again? We could magnify or multiply that by 100 if we want to know how the ancient Israelites felt when they were carried away in Babylonian captivity. Everything seemed lost. Everything was chaos and ruin. Was God still there? If so, could God bring order and meaning out of chaos? That was the question. And of course, whenever we begin to question and doubt God, it always helps to look in the past, what God has done in the past. And that is the way the people responded to this great tragedy in their lives. They looked back to creation itself, when the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, back when God's word went forth in the midst of the chaos, and when it was all over, we are told there was night and there was day. There was the sun and the moon and the stars. There were plants and trees and creeping things. There were birds and fish. And of course, there were human beings, male and female together in God's image. They were created. A whole new beautiful world bearing testimony to the creative power of God's sovereign love. Now, of course, we spend a great deal of time arguing over the particulars of the creation story. How many days did creation actually take? How long was a day? Were there dinosaurs there when God first created human beings? How do we reconcile this story to what we know scientifically? Those are just some of the questions and some of the arguments. But this story is not a story designed to answer scientific questions. Rather, this story is a story of faith. It is a story that is designed to answer faith questions. The gift of this story is its affirmation that there is a creator God, a God who brings order and light out of the darkness and chaos that often overcomes our lives and often overcomes our world. And you and I are a part of that creation. The same God who created the sun and the moon, God who created the stars and the galaxies, the same God who spoke into existence night and day, the same God who created you and me in his image. You are not just an accident. You are not just a byproduct of random particles. You are not just a cog in someone else's machine. You are not just a worker in someone else's enterprise. You are not just a faceless citizen in a world controlled by other people. But each and every one of you here this morning are God's beloved. You are someone known by God before the foundation of the world. And part of what it means to be known by God, to be made in the image of God, is that you and I are called also to stare down all that brings chaos and darkness to our world. We are called to bring beauty to our lives and beauty to our communities and to our neighborhoods, to our families, and to our world. Part of our task as a church in this community is to be a part of that ongoing creative process that was there from the beginning of time. Part of our task is, again, to bring order out of the chaos that threatens our lives and our communities. We know a little bit of that chaos. We experienced a little bit of that chaos, even in this community. I already alluded earlier to the murders that took place on 2nd Street at the closing minutes of 2011. It's part of the chaos which engulfs our community. The chaos of crime, the chaos of unemployment, the chaos of those whose lives are taken over by drugs and alcohol, But there are bigger and larger forces at work that create chaos in our world as well. The chaos of large-scale violence, the chaos of structural inequalities, the chaos that marginalizes people, the chaos that tells people that their lives and their humanity is of no account. Part of our mission as God's people, again, is to reorder the chaos. Everything that we do in the name of God is a strike of light in the darkness. Every cup of water that we offer, every smile that we direct towards someone who is lonely and afraid, every child that we comfort and care for and teach, every elder who we welcome into our midst, every time we do something for the least of these, we are striking a blow against the chaos that often engulfs our world. And part of what it means to be made in the image of God, again, is to continue that creative process of keeping the chaos at bay. This is the second week of the new year, and if you are like me already, you have broken most of your New Year resolutions. But perhaps you are here this morning and you are saying to yourself, you know, my life resembles that primordial condition before the creation. My life feels meaningless and purposeless. My life is filled with chaos and confusion. I want to get my life together, whatever that might mean, but there are just too many dark places, too many deep places, too many void places. I've made a mess out of my life. My life is formless and void. My life is taken over by chaos. Well, the good news for you this morning is that God is still God. God's Spirit can penetrate the deep places of pain and hurt in your life. God's Word can create within you something totally new, something beautiful, something that reflects God's glory. God wants to give you a whole new beginning because that is the kind of God that God is. God is the Creator God that makes available new beginnings. One of the amazing things about the Bible is that it doesn't just tell the story of one beginning, but it tells the story of many beginnings. We don't get very far in the book of Genesis when we learn that God's good creation is in trouble. As a result of rampant violence and bloodshed, we are told that the chaos waters again overtake God's good creation. It rains for 40 days and 40 nights. And once again, God's good creation is overcome by chaos and darkness. But God doesn't give up on God's good creation. God doesn't let the world succumb to the chaos and the darkness. Instead, God calls Noah, and God begins the process of beginning the world all over again. And that's the way it is in the Bible. Even with God's people, God never leaves them to their own devices. God never leaves them to the chaos. God never leaves them to the darkness. God never gives up on them. But again and again, God provides for them a new beginning. We're familiar with the story of the Exodus, how the children of Israel come through the wilderness and then pass through the River Jordan before they make their beginning into the new land, the holy land that God has given them. A land for a new beginning as God's people. New beginning, living as the kind of people that God has called them to be. And God never gives up on you or me either. God continues to offer us a new beginning, even when we've made a mess of our lives, even when we've allowed the chaos to cloud our own hearts. God doesn't give up on any of us. Our gospel lesson this morning is about new beginnings. Mark doesn't begin his story of Jesus with birth narratives like Matthew and Mark. Neither does he begin with a philosophical prologue about Jesus' pre-existence like John's gospel. Rather, Mark begins his gospel with Jesus' baptism at the Jordan River by John the Baptist. John has been in the wilderness calling people to repent because once again chaos and darkness has claimed God's good creation. The chaos and darkness of sin and death. John enters into the scene of the wilderness, the scene of Israel's foundational story, and he's calling people to come out of the chaos. He's calling them to get their life together and come out of the darkness. Whatever has their life clouded, whatever has their life going backward, whatever has separated them from God, John calls them to come out of the chaos and get back out into the desert, get back out into the wilderness, and wait for God's new beginning. When Jesus steps forth in the Jordan to be baptized, Mark wants us to see his baptism not only as an act of solidarity with us wayward sinners, but Mark wants us to see something else in this story. Mark wants us to see the heavens torn open, and he wants us to see the Spirit of God, once again hovering over the face of the waters. Mark wants us to see God's word again going forth, God's word incarnate, standing in the midst of the chaos. Mark wants us to see again a whole new beginning. That is what is taking place in this baptismal scene at the Jordan. It is a whole new beginning, a recreation of the world, a new beginning for you and for me, and a new beginning for God's world. That is what Jesus's ministry was all about. Jesus was modeling what God's new beginning looks like. And when Jesus went out, when he proclaimed good news for the poor, when he proclaimed release for the captives, he was saying that all those things that bring chaos in the lives of people were now being recreated. That God was moving, God's Spirit was moving, God's Word was going forth once again, and healing was taking place. For all the chaos of sickness, healing was taking place. When Jesus raised people from the dead, he was saying that all of those things which bring death, that God was recreating the situation again, the world again, and that God's healing and peace and justice was once again reforming and reshaping the world. That's what Mark wants us to see in this baptismal story. But he doesn't just want us to see it. He also wants us to live it. He wants us to be a part of the renewal. He wants us to be a part of the new creation. Indeed, we are reminded in our own baptisms that all of us who are in Christ, we're already a new creation. You and I are already a new creation. And we are called to go forth in the power of the Spirit, living into that new creation. We are called to go forth in our world, staring down the chaos, bringing God's love, God's healing, God's peace, God's love and compassion to a world that is darkened by chaos. The good news for our world today, in the midst of so many things which seem to threaten our existence is that God has not given up on God's world. In the midst of wars and rumors of wars, in the midst of poverty, in the midst of crime, in the midst of sin and death, God has not given up on God's world. God's creative spirit is active and blowing in the world. And his creative spirit is blowing in you and me, in this body, in this church, in our hearts. God wants us to go out into this world and to proclaim that good news, that God has not given up on God's world. We are, as I said earlier, in the second week of this new year, and none of us know what lies ahead. We don't know if there's going to be more war or rumors of wars. We don't know if there's going to be more economic distress. We don't know what the immediate future of our country is going to be. We don't know who the next leader of our country is going to be. There are so many things that we don't know. So many forces and powers out there that seem chaotic and dark, that threaten our well-being and sense of security. But what we do know is that God's Spirit is still blowing in our world. And we do know that God's Word, the Word incarnate, the Word Jesus Christ, is still Lord of the universe. We know that the future is in God's hands. And we know that we are in God's hands. And because we know that, we know that there's not anything out there that ought to cause us to be fearful or anxious. Because we know that, we know that we could go out into this dark and chaotic world proclaiming the good news of God's love for each and every one of us, proclaiming the good news of God's beginning, that there is a future. There's a future for you. There's a future for me. There's a future for this community. There's a future for this whole world, because God has not given up on God's world. God is in the business of creating new beginnings, and you and I are already a part of that new beginning because we are in Christ. We are his new creation. So let's go out into the midst of this world and live as the new creation people that God's Spirit has empowered us to be. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, there is much in our world now that causes us to fear. There is much in our world that causes us to doubt. There is much in our world that leaves us wondering about your presence with us and your presence in our world. We ask that as we begin this new year, that you help us to understand that you are the God who has already arrested the darkness of our lives and the darkness that threatens our world. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have already defeated the forces and powers of chaos and darkness and death. We ask, Lord, that you help us to believe that you help us to take that good news deep inside of our hearts, that you help us to open ourselves up to the movement of your Spirit as we go out into the world to proclaim the good news of your new beginning for our lives and for the world. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.